Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode on TechNet Radio. We're in episode number 27 of Building Your Hybrid Cloud. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a principal technical architect at Microsoft for our Microsoft Azure cloud platform. And I have back with me today our special guest, Andy Surwich. Hi, Andy. How are you today?
Good, good. How's it going, Keith?
Great. Well, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well.
It's a new year, lots of changes in technology in the cloud and on-premises and whatnot. Andy, what are some of the things that you've been looking at lately from a new technology standpoint?
Well, the big thing that I've been tinkering with lately the last month or so and kind of over the holidays is a little bit of I kind of got it from the MVP summit back in November. I talked about it a lot back then, and then, you know, over the holidays, Technical Preview 4 came out for Windows Server 2016.
Oh, so yeah.
Spent a lot of time playing with that.
Well, you know, I agree. There are lots of exciting changes coming with Windows Server 2016, and Technical Preview 4 unlocks a lot of new capabilities that we can begin evaluating that really empower us across compute and networking and storage and security with some great new features. We've got, from a compute standpoint, I know one of the features that a lot of the people I've been talking to have been waiting for a long time now is nested virtualization, being able to run Hyper-V within Hyper-V. So that's now in Technical Preview 4, but we've got a lot more than just that, right? We've got, you know, even in a single server environment, we've got improvements around performance and scalability. From a networking standpoint, we've got a lot of the kind of the Azure vision around networking for network controllers and load balancers and multi-tenant gateways baked into TP4. Storage is an area that I've been super excited about as well, because, from a storage standpoint, we've got features like Storage Spaces Direct for being able to leverage locally attached SAS storage or SATA storage for being able to build highly available kind of distributed node storage architectures. But storage replica is also another feature that Windows Server 2016 is going to offer for doing synchronous and asynchronous block level storage replication. And then certainly from a security standpoint, we've got shielded VMs for being able to improve security isolation between the host operating system and VMs that are running on that host operating system. And from an overall management standpoint, we've got some great new container management features built in that can be accessible through PowerShell or through Docker for deploying containerized applications, either using Windows Server containers or Hyper-V containers for more isolation. What are some of the features that you've seen a lot of interest in the community, Andy?
I think the big ones that I've seen a lot of interest in are, one, the shielded VMs, just because, privacy and security is a big thing that a lot of companies are interested in right now. Storage Spaces Direct is another big one from the storage side. You know, that whole hyper-converged architecture is really popular in the industry right now.
Yeah.
But I think probably the number one on my list is nested virtualization. Mm-hmm. Those of us on the Hyper-V side have been asking for this feature for years and years, as far back as I can remember, because, you know, especially from a training perspective, hardware is not cheap, you know, and now having the nested virtualization in Hyper-V, being able to spin up virtualized Hyper-V clusters, not to mention all the other benefits that it provides, is really great. And I hear a lot of the guys in the industry talking about that right now.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it unlocks, as you had mentioned, training scenarios, higher density dev and test scenarios, demo scenarios, you know, where you might have a more complex multi-VM demo environment that you want to be able to spin up all at once and do virtualization inside of a hypervisor, additional nested layer of virtualization. And then another interesting piece is it also unlocks a potential use case around container-based deployments, because with nested virtualization, you'd have the ability to deploy the isolated Hyper-V containers inside of a VM, inside of another VM, by taking advantage of nested virtualization. And that's a good point. I agree. It's something that people have been waiting for a long, long time. You know, nested virtualization previously wasn't in either earlier editions of Hyper-V. And so, you know, when we looked at the Hyper-V architecture without nested virtualization, kind of the traditional architecture, we've got our hardware, you know, our CPU, memory, IO bus and whatnot. On top of that, the Hyper-V hypervisor, and then we've got our parent partition that all the management work is done throughout, and then our various guest VMs for running the operating systems. And really what nested virtualization gives us is the ability to turn on hardware virtualization extension support that passes through the hypervisor that's sitting on top of bare metal into the VMs that we've enabled that support for. And so with this initial release of nested virtualization in Windows Server 2016 TP4, it's something that's being supported for Windows 10 and Windows Server 2016 Hyper-V hypervisors today. It's something that you can download the bits and try it out for yourself as well. But as I understand it, you've recently done some talks on nested virtualization, and there's some specific requirements and considerations when you're enabling nested virtualization, isn't there, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just a handful, nothing major. You need to make sure that you have more than one CPU assigned to the virtual machine that you're going to be running virtualized Hyper-V inside of.
Sure.
Need to make sure that dynamic memory is disabled. Need to turn on those virtualization extensions that you were mentioning earlier. And then, you know, there's a number of things that just aren't supported yet, you know, things like live migration and some stuff like that. Again, you know, it's technical preview 4, you know, don't be using it in production yet, right? You know?
Right.
So, but yeah, just a couple of things like that.
Yeah, but a great use case when you're thinking about kind of those non-production dev and test and evaluation, test lab type workloads, right? Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
And as I understand it, for the virtualization extensions with TP4, currently the only virtualization extensions that are supported are Intel VT extensions, right? So the underlying hardware platform has to be able to expose Intel VT as the virtualization technology. And then I agree, there are some limitations, like you had mentioned live migration and whatnot. And my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, those limitations are primarily around not being able to do some of the more advanced things like live migration around the VM that has the nested hypervisor inside of it. But right. Then when you look at the guest, the kind of the nested VMs inside that nested hyper, on top of that nested hypervisor,
Right. Those
limitations kind of go away at that point.
Right.
So it's still pretty flexible when you're thinking about kind of dev test demo environments, and certainly allows you to get much more dense on your same hardware platform investments with those types of workloads and use cases that we've been talking about.
Right, yeah. I always just like to bring up those limitations, you know, like you said, with the VM that's running the virtualized hypervisor, just because, you know, people expect it to do all the same stuff that, you know, a normal VM can do. Don't like there to be any surprises. But, you know, like you said, you know, you've got a lot of options, a lot more density as far as your virtualized workloads go, which, you know, there's just lots and lots of benefits. And I wouldn't be surprised if, as we get closer to the official release of 2016, that, you know, some of those limitations go away.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. We'll keep an eager eye on that, right?
Yep,
Technical preview releases move forward towards general availability.
Yep.
Great. Well, what do you say? Does it make sense to take a look at a deeper level at nested virtualization together in the lab?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Well, hey, Andy, we're over in our lab environment, and we've got a physical server that we've installed with Windows Server 2016 Technical Preview 4. We installed using the full desktop experience, what used to be called the server with GUI, instead of server core. And I suppose we probably should mention at some point down the road that there's also a new third option for deploying Windows Server 2016 called Nano Server. That's the ultimate in kind of small footprint operating systems, right? For running a very small footprint hypervisor or storage host or a small footprint kind of cloud application host that might be hosting containers, containerized applications. So hopefully we'll have time in a future episode to talk a little bit more about NanoServer as well and give everybody some insights into how to get started with that.
Yeah, that's another topic that I see a lot of people getting excited about.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And so we're looking at Server Manager from our Windows Server 2016 host. We've already got the Hyper-V role installed on our physical server. And so if I just right-click and drop into Hyper-V Manager on our physical server, we'll see that we've got a VM running on it. And we've got some memory and multiple CPUs, vCPUs assigned to it. And we'll say that for this VM, this is the VM that we want to enable nested hypervisor support for, nested virtualization support. And in order to do that, we need to use just a little bit of PowerShell to set a special flag for this VM so that it passes through those virtualization extensions. Now, as we mentioned, we have to make sure we're not using dynamic memory or all the gotchas that Andy called out. But if I drop over into PowerShell just for a moment here, now it's important that when you're running these commands from PowerShell, you do it from an administrator PowerShell session, because otherwise you won't be able to talk to the hypervisor through PowerShell and get your VMs back to change any properties for. So I've launched PowerShell, the ISE, using run as administrator, and I'm just setting a variable to my VM name that we saw in Hyper-V Manager, and I'm going to get the properties, the current properties of that VM, and then what I'm going to do is use the set VM processor command, pass that VM name, and set a special property called exposed virtualization extensions to true. Now, normally, you'd have to run this command while your VM is in a shutdown powered off state, right? And it kind of makes sense, because if you think about it in the physical world, in order to enable Intel VT extensions on a physical server, the operating system has to be shut down. You typically do that enablement in the firmware setup, right? The BIOS setup, essentially, of the server. So we're doing kind of the same thing here. So normally, if we were going to set this for the first time to a value of true, we would need to make sure that the VM that we're enabling for nested virtualization is powered down. We set that. And then once we run that command, I've already run that on the VM to save a little bit of time. Once we run that command, we can verify that the extensions were set correctly by running the get VM processor commandlet and passing in the same VM object that we previously used and referencing specifically the expose virtualization extensions property. And you can see that comes back as true. So now we've got that enabled. So it's really just a couple PowerShell statements to get it enabled. Pretty easy to set up or script out if you were in an automated lab environment.
I just want to mention it one more time. You know, this works only with Intel VT at this point in time. You mentioned that earlier. I had a buddy trying to do it with an AMD an AMD processor, and scratching his head, why isn't this working? And I think it's one of the first times I've ever run into it where one is supported and not the other. I just like to point that out whenever I'm having this conversation.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's something that is specific right now to TP4, the technical preview 4, and as Windows Server 2016 matures towards general availability, we'll just have to keep an eye on that to see if broader virtualization extension support becomes available.
Yep. Definitely. I'd be surprised if come release that they're not both supported, just because, like I said, this is the first time we've ever run into that. So I'd be really surprised if that was the case.
Yep. So we've enabled the virtualization extensions for that VM. And my VM is running right now because I previously enabled that. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to right-click and connect to the console of that VM. So I'm connecting to the Win16 VM01 on my physical server. I'm just going to maximize that screen. And you'll see that Hyper-V is already installed. I've installed that previously to today's episode after enabling those extensions. And the installation process for Hyper-V is the exact same process you'd use on a physical server, where you add it as a role, it adds all of the support for Hyper-V, restarts, allows you to create your first Hyper-V virtual switch and VMs. And in fact, if we go into Hyper-V Manager inside this VM and connect up, just maximize that, we'll see that we're running two different VMs inside that original VM, right? So we've got our Win16 VM01 running as a virtualized Hyper-V host now with two other VMs that are available that we can now use to run application workloads in a higher density manner. So pretty straightforward and easy. Andy, is that what you found as well? Any other tips or tricks that you've seen?
No, that's pretty much it. You know, I think the hardest thing that I've seen is just keeping track of the various layers, you know. Once you get a couple of layers deep with that, you know, it's sometimes tough to keep track of, you know, whether it's the first layer hypervisor or the second layer. And what I've seen be really important in making that determination is naming scheme.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the virtualized hypervisor, I always make sure I put, you know, HVVM in the host name or something like that.
Yeah.
Just as a simple way of seeing that, oh, hey, this is a virtualized Hyper-V host.
That's a great idea.
Just something that I do personally.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great idea. Naming conventions are life and death sometimes in large data center deployments, right?
Yep.
Cool. Well, and that's it for nested virtualization. As we go through future episodes, we'll be talking about some of the other Windows Server 2016 capabilities like Nano Server and Windows Server containers. But for now, what do you say, Andy? Does it make sense to head back to the office and finish up our episode together?
Yeah, sounds good.
So Andy, we've been talking about Windows Server 2016, next major release of Windows Server, pretty exciting, with Technical Preview 4. But the other interesting piece of this conversation, right, is that these improvements in Windows Server 2016 around compute and storage and networking and security aren't just for environments that are deploying traditional virtualized environments with Windows Server. They're also for environments that want to leverage the Azure cloud, because, you know, a lot of you, I'm sure, have heard of Azure Stack, our Azure consistent private cloud offering that's also going through a release of technical previews and general availability. And if you look down at the bottom of our Azure Stack architecture where it says cloud infrastructure, we've got the same compute, storage, networking, security headings that are powered by the same advances that we're making in Windows Server 2016. So organizations will be able to decide how they want to really implement those types of features. Are you in a highly virtualized traditional environment? If so, Windows Server 2016 and System Center 2016 will be great features of that product line that you can continue to leverage. If you truly want to implement a cloud platform that's consistent with the Azure public cloud offerings for deploying hybrid workloads in a unified way, then Azure Stack becomes your alternative there as well. And Azure Stack's going to have, you know, same workload support for Windows Server and Linux VMs, consistent storage, consistent networking, consistent provisioning API with Azure Resource Manager. So it give you the ability to deploy and provision and manage the same way you do in Azure in private cloud, on-premises, hosted data centers running Azure Stack as well. Are you seeing a lot of excitement around Azure Stack too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I come from a service provider background, and the more that service providers can shrink their tool set to a more unified platform for management, you know, the more time they have for actually managing their customers. So having the same management tools on-premise as you're going to have in your public cloud is a huge thing.
Sure. Yeah, and it really empowers organizations to make some key decisions, right? So for applications that they can reduce cost or increase scale or distribution globally by moving to the public cloud, they can do that. For applications that for other reasons they prefer to keep in an on-premises or hosted data center, they can do that, but they can do it consistently, as you mentioned. They can deploy, provision, manage all consistently by leveraging Azure plus Azure Stack together. And hopefully in our future episodes, we'll have a chance to kind of walk through some of the early technical previews of Azure Stack as well, and give everybody a chance to see how easy it is to set up and begin to leverage as part of your Azure aligned private cloud and hybrid cloud extension. But for today, what do you think, Andy? I think we've covered a lot of territory today. Does it make sense to call it quits for the day?
Yeah, I think that works. That's should give enough people to go tinker with for a while, I would think. I know I spent a lot of time with nested virtualization.
Yeah, definitely. You can download it today from the TechNet or MSDN download pages. So go ahead, go try it out. And down at the bottom of the page that everyone's watching today's episode on, we've also got some other useful links for stepping through more details around nested virtualization so you can get a better feel for it as well. So be sure to check those out. And we'll look forward to seeing you on a future episode of TechNet Radio here on Channel 9. Andy, thanks so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure, as always, having you on the show.
Always happy to be here.
Take care, Andy. Take care, everyone. Look forward to seeing you in a future episode.